This is the Freedom Beans broadcasting from Podbean
2D,
a mile above sea level, and intergalactic very studios.
We alter your locus coeruleus
by warming your synapses with rejuvenating radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit
to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, Katie?
I feel it.
And Jim Jesus?
Oh, yeah. Do it again.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Dan Green, here with the lovely Katie Green and the even lovelier Jim Jesus.
I don't know about all that, but well, I'll flow with it.
Too much. So.
Whoa, Dan.
Whoa.
You got to turn you up.
Where did you come from?
Learning Hospital. Let's see.
Now, I'm quite sure I only heard that voice inside my own head.
Oh.
So if anyone else heard it,
yeah,
who knows? So we should also mention.
I think we're having a collective delusion here.
I think we are. This is one of those mass delusions live on air. Just one of those things that happens to most people, you know, on a Tuesday. So we should mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and this allows use by anyone except for governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Now that that's out of the way and our collective delusion is, we're just
it's gone away.
It, we're just accepting that we're mass hallucinating.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. Okay. We should probably do a radio show.
All right, let's do it.
I think we'll give it a try. We'll
Jim, what would you like to talk about, sir?
I really want to talk about this Quiznos thing and Burning Man, how Burning Man is suing Quiznos.
This is ridiculous.
Over like intellectual property.
A festival is suing a sandwich company for intellectual property.
Tell us, Jim. Explain it to that. The listeners who are not in on our collective delusion yet.
So they, Quiznos, which is a sandwich company, I don't know where they're based out of, but they're definitely somewhere in America. They released an advertisement, which is kind of like a, it's like a fake trailer to a fake movie that's not going to exist, but it's a Quiznos ad. And it's kind of parodying kind of like Inception, that film.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise is that, you know, these people go to Burning Man thinking it's going to be a hippy-dippy festival, but it turns out it's just a bunch of corporate losers who go there just to check something off of their bucket list. And so Quiznos was sued, or they're being threatened to sue, I'm not exactly sure, by the organizers of Burning Man. And the Burning Man said that they are not upset because... Burning Man is not upset because it believes that the jokes are hurtful, mean, mean, or therefore, and therefore spiritually illegal. Instead, Burning Man spokesman told the Gazette Journal that the ad included theft of intellectual property, which is interesting because if you go there, they're really like anti, you know, capitalism, anti-consumerism, anti-establishment, and here they are trying to defend intellectual property.
Well, what? I'm wondering what came first. Was it Burning Man or Wicker Man? Was Wicker Man not the...
Oh, the Wicker Man.
The bees! Yeah. The bees! And... Not the bees!
Not the film. No, the...
There's the Wicker Man Festival here. Yeah, yeah. I've never been, but I know people that have been. It's the same idea, you know, loosely based on that horror film.
Yeah. I just wonder, like...
Let's have a music festival based on a horror movie. You know, like, what could possibly go wrong?
Okay.
Oh, the bees. Definitely the bees.
But, like, I just don't understand, like, I don't get it. It just seems bizarre to me that a festival would sue a sandwich company for intellectual property. Nothing about this is intellectual.
It just seems weird, man. I actually watched the wee advert, and
it's quite funny. I thought it was quite humorous.
Yeah, it's all right, yeah.
It makes me want to go to Burning Man. That made me, I was like, I would go now.
So this has worked on you?
So this has worked on me, and it also made me want a sandwich. So it's working.
So well,
do they even have Quiznos over there?
No, we had one.
There was one. There was one once in Union Street.
There was one in Union Street one time.
It lasted for, I think it was about a year or something.
I think they got a year lease.
It just never took off. Subway took off in Too Big a Way at first, and like everyone and their grand got a franchise, and then a bunch of them shut down.
And then now it's like, we're fine, we've got a nice amount of Subways, but Quiznos never took off. But see, food places don't take off here the way that they do in the States, and I don't know what it is.
Are you being racist?
No. I'm being factual. I'm saying if you go to our food court, we have maybe 8 places. You go to one in the States and they have like 50.
And
I guess the racist
thing. It's not fair. Like, I want to eat too.
I think the racist point would be that the United Kingdom doesn't have good food, and that's why the restaurants fail. Except for maybe Gordon Ramsay, but that's it.
Oh, Jim, you're elitist.
Overpriced
you're
nonsense.
Just a darn elitist, Jim. You and your Michelin star restaurants and your finery.
I'm still trying to get my hands on a haggis. To be perfectly honest, I'm still trying to find a good place to get a haggis.
Really?
So I can try. Yeah. Well,
You should. It's great.
Yeah, I'm all about the weird foods and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, there's some lines that I won't cross. I heard that there's some maggot cheese, and that's a little too much. It's a little too much for me. But
that is much, isn't it? That's like that's a bridge too far. I don't understand foodies going like taking it to a weird level. Like, I like food. I would eat cheese. But
in terms of haggis, I'm a bit of a stereotype because, like, I love haggis.
I know. I
a lot of people
honey.
I know hate it, but I'm a total stereotype when it comes to haggis. I just can't help it, man.
Yeah.
I've never been to Canada, and I love poutine. There's a place here that sells poutine. Poutine is like it's a French Canadian dish where, well, it's not even really a dish. It's just French fries with gravy and cheese curds, but it's so good.
Oh, okay.
it's so good.
That sounds weird. Yeah. What's a cheese curd? What's a curd?
I'm not exactly sure. Cheese? And you know, we were having this discussion this weekend with a few of my friends that came out to visit me, but I believe that the difference between a cheese curd and just cheese is that it has more whey in it, more water content than regular cheese.
Oh.
But for some reason, every time I've had cheese curds, I've been pleasantly surprised by it.
Thank you for clearing that up for me, Jim. Thank you.
Well, it makes me think, well, is there not some nursery rhyme where they talk about curds and whey? What's that?
Little Miss Muffet.
Little Miss Muffet?
Is that on her Tuffet?
Eating her
is
curds
that
and whey.
What's a Tuffet?
I don't know what
like
that is.
It's like a
big mushroom in my mind.
It's a mushroom like a in my crazy, mind, too.
In my mind, she was sitting on a big, crazy, psychedelic mushroom eating cheese when a spider came and
when a spider came down
her,
and sat beside her and she absolutely went mental.
That's how that fairy tale plays in my mind. I can't see how that
is. It gothic, Dan? Is it like a Tim Burton movie in your
like
head?
It's like
that
in my head. Everything is a Tim Burton movie in my head.
I know. I think you see us all as cartoon characters.
Well, I'm wearing a black and white striped suit just now. You know, you can see my bony fingers and things like that. I don't understand what you're talking about.
I would like to stop this now. It's too silly.
Is it just getting too silly?
I would like to stop it.
Katie sometimes becomes like
the voice of reason
in Monty Python. If you remember those old ones when it was like Graham Chapman would be he would come in when the sketch was getting too daft, dressed as a soldier, and he would be like, "It's too silly. I'm stopping it now."
I do that
and then
daily.
Good.
Okay, so we're talking about there was a Quiznos, a sandwich company sued a festival for a funny advert.
Oh, the point.
And the point of it is, it's silly. But Jim, you were saying they're very anti-capitalist and very anti sort of this idea of like mine.
Do they not sell tickets? Do they not sell things at their festival?
I believe they sell tickets. I think that might be what their problem was, is that they're getting hurt in ticket sales. But when you go there, their whole thing is like you can't buy or sell anything. Everything has to be barter in some form.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you have to...
Oh, that's weird.
Do you barter for money?
Like
though? I will give you money for this. Just buying it. Really bartering.
It does seem like a lot of effort having to barter all the time. Do you know what I mean?
That's why we have a currency.
I'm happy when someone tells me what the price is. You know, like, that's the price. We don't need to talk about it.
That's $20.
That's the price. I'll give you the money. We don't have to have a chat about it.
I'll have two chickens and a goat.
It's like, well, I don't want eggs. Well, okay, so now I have to go and find someone who wants eggs.
Yeah.
And sell something that he wants. To sell to someone else, to trade with someone else, to finally get what I want.
Do you think they don't understand?
We invented currency.
Yeah, like it's like they don't get like the point of it. Like, well, if it's just evil corporate greed, no, it's like it's necessary.
Is the economic term not like a double coincidence of wants? Like,
you, I don't know the legal
like
stuff,
basically though. Like, you both have to want the same thing, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Because if I've got chickens and you've got wood and you want wood but I don't want chickens, then what's the point?
I always have wood.
Like, yeah,
funny because I'm a woman.
Medium of exchange. I don't know how we got on to like talking about Quiznos and food to economics, but it's just kind of
the
magic of the freedom fiends, I suppose.
And to be honest, the Quiznos is pretty good. It's not my particularly favorite, but you know, I like Quiznos, and I thought the ad was fantastic. I love it.
It was funny.
Yeah, and it was kind of cruel, but lighthearted at the same time. And it, you know, there was a good balance there. And I think they're just a little too upset. And I don't think anybody's not going to buy a ticket to Burning Man who was already like deciding on going just because they saw that advertisement and was like, you know what, that is a bad idea.
No. Exactly.
I know that's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think they'll have lost any money over it. I think they're just being
This was the whole point. Like, see the fact that, like, for example, we were talking about it just now live on the radio. Maybe, and you know, there's articles online. Maybe that was the point because maybe someone's really clever there and was like, we could make a big deal about this and it would get a lot of festival
attention.
Attention for our festival. We'll get a lot of festival. We've got a lot of festival.
We're having a lot of festival, yeah.
But you know, it's just my conspiratorial mind. Yeah. I'm just going to go over to the giant board I have on the wall of pictures of like JFK and pentagrams, and I'm just going to attach one of the strings to something else now because I think I've figured something out.
The Quiznos sub was clearly on the Grassley Knoll, right?
One day I'm going to tear that board down. One day you're going to come home and it's just going to be all over the floor.
Don't make people think it's real.
It's not real at all, by the way. It's not.
His head went back and to the left because he saw a Quiznos.
I want a sandwich now. That's the power of advertising. The power of talking about it. It's not a sandwich.
I think as well, you know, people like, they talk about like, and
they talk about adverts.
Just some conspiracy nonsense. Yeah. Take a break.
Yeah.
Speaking of advertisements, let's do the thing. Worms.
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 You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Freedom Fiends, Dan Green and Katie Green, and we won't take your calls.
No, we will not.
But if you do want to call, yeah, if you do want to call someone, I guess you can call my my phone, 424-666-1909. That's 424-666-1909. But I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to take your calls.
No.
But, no.
Take your calls. Okay.
Jim just exposed himself there, because his number is 666. He's clearly a member of the Illuminati. What are you
hiding,
Jim?
The mark of the beast. How did you get that number? Did you request that, or did they just like give you that? That's amazing.
No, Google Voice, I don't know if they still do this, but they can give you a custom phone number they have some in a certain area. And I wanted to make a new phone line. Yeah. And one of the options had the prefix 666, and I was like, I can't say no to this. But I can't.
You
I can't
have to do that.
But I can't make that my primary phone number, so other phone number, which I'm not going to give out. Definitely don't want to give that.
No. Please do not give out your personal information on the radio. I wonder though.
Is this thing
on? I don't know. Are we even plugged in? Is this going out?
No, it's that delusion we were talking about there at the start
we're
of the show.
We're all just sitting here talking into
delusion. We're actually lying in pods with things strapped to our heads,
to our
you know, in this weird fluid.
Oh, it's I'm like sorry, a but jelly. The Matrix was The Matrix was a terrible movie. I'm sorry.
I like the first one. I do.
The first one, no. I enjoyed the premise, but did you think it was badly executed?
Why not, Jim? Come on.
Nope, I didn't like the first one either. I liked it when it first came out, but when I watched it a few years ago, I was like, man, this is really bad. This is really bad. I can't believe I fell for this. I was younger then. But
well,
it doesn't
make,
what's the point of the Matrix?
It was made a while ago. Like,
yeah, but then what's the point of the Matrix? If you can just have people be batteries, why even have the Matrix to begin with if you can turn around and hack it and leave?
Well, what's the point of life, Jim? Why are we all here?
But yeah, it was,
I know. No,
it was
I
a
understand.
Philosophy concept, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
If anything, I come away from that movie with just a little sense of like, oh, I'm gonna die someday. It's just really, really like. Dan, you looked like you were gonna say something. I'm sorry.
I didn't mind it. I thought the first one was okay. I know what you mean. It's like. It's almost like taking the sort of, if you want to go back to, what was it, Bishop Berkeley, you know, with, he believed that everything was in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, and then the sort of famous thing was the guy, Samuel, what's his face, or whatever his name was, that kicked a stone and said, I refute it thus. You know, okay. So basically, if everything's all in my mind, how come I just hurt my foot kicking this stone?
Yeah.
So, you know, but I liked the first one. It was good for what it was.
I thought it was well done, but I mean it was made in like 1999 or something, so it's like it's not going to be the most modern sort of.
This is a weird story, right? But the first one I saw was the third one, right?
And he still likes.
That's why I think the first one's good because
I was exposed to the third one and it was disgusting.
It was
the bar was set so low.
And I thought, wow.
It was that low, you could just step over it. But like, some friends of mine were going to see it, and like at the time, and I hadn't seen the other ones, but we were all just hanging out and stuff. And
Dan
I was
drunk
like,
and he went, yeah, sure.
Went, yeah, I'll come and see it. And then one of my mates spent the whole film trying to explain to me what The Matrix was, but I wasn't even listening. I was trying to follow this film and try to listen to him,
so
and I was a bit drunk. And then it was just
like. That's
why you like
the first one so much.
Aye, because none of it made any sense to me. I was in some kind of. I don't know, some kind of weird.
Yeah.
Was he talking
weird
in that
suspended state?
Was he talking like Agent Smith, like, Mr. Green, it's time to explain to you what the Matrix is?
You do that surprisingly well.
It's really good.
Have you ever noticed that, like, no one in that movie uses a contraction? Not a single. No one ever says can't, do not, or can't, don't. It's always cannot, do not. It's so pretentious and so annoying. Yeah. Can't stand those
Jim,
movies.
You've thought about The Matrix in levels I have never thought about.
Did you go through it and like with a fine tooth comb and just go, this is what's wrong with this movie?
No, to be fair, what reminded me of this is a while ago I saw a review for The Matrix by a YouTuber named Nostalgia Critic, and he went through the whole series and just ripped it apart, and I was like, come to think of it, that's why I didn't like it when I saw it later on.
Yeah.
I saw it a few years ago and I was like, this is terribly dated. And what's interesting is if you watch the original Star Wars, you know, the unedited one, it still translates well. It still carries over well. But The Matrix, it's so cheesy looking. Some of those effects
so
are so
over.
Bad. Yeah.
The Matrix is over.
Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends and The Matrix is over. Join us after this trip to the free market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Yeah. Mr. Radio Listener. I want to talk to you about the Freedom Fiends. It's seems as though you have been living in a status dream world. And I'm here with Dan Green and Katie Green. And we're talking about The Matrix right now for some reason. Yeah.
The movie, not the suspended state that you're in right now. The film. The film.
Or the type of printer. So I was talking about her earlier. I had watched The Matrix a few years ago and didn't like it. And then there was a review that came out by a YouTuber called The Nostalgia Critic. And he went through and kind of explained why I really didn't like it the second time around. And so I guess we can get right into it. Why? Like, what else I didn't like about it? First of all, the Jesus metaphors were like in your face and annoying. Like, even to the point where there was even a scene where when he hands the guy the disc with the code or whatever on it, he says, "You're my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ," and it was like, it was right there.
I didn't even remember that. Oh wow. Yeah, okay.
The disciples were clear. You knew which one was Judas right from the start. when he was drinking with them, you know.
I hadn't even thought about that. Dan, we need to watch it with fresh eyes. Dan's like, no, I love it.
I was going to say the last time I watched it, fresh eyes wasn't the term I would use, but like...
Yeah, they were very unfresh
my
eyes.
My eyes were glazed over.
Yes, they were.
Like, no, I don't know, like, it does have a lot of interest in references, but sometimes there's, like, I kind of know what you, sometimes there's way too much kind of packed in, like, it seems like they're referencing something every couple of minutes, if you know what I mean, like, is that just me?
Oh, Dan.
Oh.
Again, if anyone voices. Can hear that, that's a voice that only exists within our collective delusion. So if you heard that also, I would ask you to seek psychiatric help immediately. Because you may be suffering. You're infecting everyone's brain, Jim. But I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a decent movie, and it's one of those things that, like, I think the kind of point of something like that is, you know, it's a kind of popular mainstream thing, and some people will see something like that, and then it will maybe inspire them to look at other things, you know, philosophy and things like that, and, you know, maybe they'll use that as a stepping stone to get to other things. So I think it's kind of useful that way, you know.
Do you not remember, Dan? I wouldn't watch it for a very, very long time because it made me question.
And she didn't want to question, and she was in. She was
no. I was in so much denial. Life?
Where did we come from? Is life real, or is it just a simulation? There's no real telling.
Exactly, it freaked me out. And like before, I was like okay with my own mortality and stuff. I would watch it and go, I'm gonna die one day, and it's all for nothing. And it makes me question.
Some big machine's farming me.
No, but like I just thought, what's the point? Like you watch that film sometimes, and it's really easy to just go, what's the point in all this? You know what I mean? But then you come back to Earth and. What? I'm just making an observation. I feel like I'm nuts.
No, I know what you mean, though. Like, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like, I know some people that did actually get into things like philosophy and that, and it was because that sort of made them think a bit. Like, they were like, this is like, you know, actually, some people would say things like, you used to get, like, at the time, I remember when it came out, people going, how do we know we're not in the Matrix? And, you know, and like, you would, like, smack someone in the face and go, that's how we know.
And the fact that we're talking about it and you don't see people changing into men with suits, that might be my good one.
That whole film felt like an alternate reality, though. It just wasn't, didn't feel, even the Earth bit. Like,
because it was all green. Everything was green.
It was all green screen?
The whole movie. No, everything was just green. Go back and watch it again.
Color green?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, everything had like this green, like a sepia tone, but it was green instead of brown.
Do you know what? That actually does make... Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to have to watch it again. by myself in the dark.
I always thought, see, the concept in it, I always thought this is probably coming at some point. Wouldn't this be cool? You know, like the when he can like download sort of things into his brain, like how to do things. Do you know what I mean? I always thought that would be. And I wonder realistically how far people might really be away from something like that. Like being able to just download knowledge and directly into your brain. That would be weird, man.
Yeah, like when he was like, oh, I know Kung Fu. It was almost like I was watching Bill and Ted again. What happened?
Oh, Kung Fu, man. What? That's so funny.
But who knows? It could be.
It could happen.
Could happen.
I'd love to plug something in and then no Kung Fu.
Would that be even worth it, though? Like, would that not just defeat the purpose? Because it's the whole point of learning something, not that you have to do trial and error and go through it and things like that.
Not
just that all of a sudden you can do stuff.
Well, no, like, well, but Kung Fu. Like, I don't want to learn Kung Fu. I just want to do Kung Fu.
You just want to do Kung Fu?
Yeah.
At me or just...
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Not right now, though, so...
Yeah, but then we get into the problem of Midas knowledge, things you cannot be taught, right? There's knowledge that can't be... For example, have you ever driven a stick shift car?
Oh, Dad, I do every single day.
Okay, can you explain to me... I drive a stick too, I love it. But can you explain to me the... In words, explain to me the precise time where you have to press in the clutch. You can't do it. It's something that you have to learn on your own. And do you learn this through jacking in through the system and being reprogrammed in the brain? I don't know. They don't really touch me.
I know how to stick shift.
That's the way I was taught.
That'd be so funny.
Jim, that's how I learned. I went to a place and a guy just plugged something into my brain and then he took me out to the car and I could just drive, you know. That's
how Dan remembers it.
Was his name Socrates or was it, was it Morpheus?
Morpheus.
Morpheus?
Do you know what's funny? Sometimes you hear people like, and they think they're being really sort of profound and stuff, and they say, man, are you going to take the red pill or the blue pill? And you just sort of look at them and you're like, seriously?
That drives me up the wall. I cannot stand when people use a red pill metaphor. It's so played out.
I know. You see memes as well. Yeah. It's just like, what if I told you? And you're like, no, just stop.
No, no, no. Don't tell me.
It's done. It's done.
Yeah. This is news.
Did you see, just speaking of this, did you see the episode of South Park, Jim, where they made fun of the Matrix and it was the one where Stan has a birthday and everything sounds awful to him and he goes to this group to meet them and it's like the Matrix, but they just get him incredibly drunk and they're like, what was it like? What was it like in the Matrix? And they get him really drunk and they're like, oh, it's leaving him and he throws up. It's just basically saying like, if you get really drunk, things are really great. And then when you're sober, it's like, you're in the Matrix. Did you see that one? Or am
No.
Did I imagine
I have to
it?
See this. Well, I have to find this now.
I think it was, it's the Tween Wave episodes.
I think it was it was like Stan, like they were like, you can go back into their world, but they were like pumping them full of whiskey.
Join us in our world. You should try and find it. It's pretty funny. It's season 10 or 11 or somewhere like that, but
yeah,
see, funny stuff.
That looks like the really good stuff. Isn't that the same season where they had the Scientology episode, right? Or I think so. It was 9 or 10.
I'm trying to remember the Scientology episode.
They've gone after a lot of people and they just don't seem to care.
Quite right.
I like it.
I like how they make fun of everyone. No one is immune to their making fun, which I like, because some shows really just take it on one side and they don't make fun of everything. But South Park absolutely takes everything.
And it's one of the most libertarian shows on TV now that Penn and Teller's BS is off the air.
Is that off the air now?
Oh yeah, they play reruns, but it's a great show, and I miss it every day.
We used to watch it, although sometimes they were just, you know, when they really didn't agree with something, they would just poison the well and stuff, like, big time. It would be very one-sided sometimes, like, they were going after certain people, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, but there was a reason for that. Like, if you if you describe someone as an expletive whatever, you can't get sued. But if you call someone a quack or a fraud or a con man or a snake oil salesman or anything like that, then you can get sued. But if you say they're full of S, then you're okay, legally.
Because it's not like a legal term.
Because then they would have to go into court and try to prove that they're not full of S, and that's, you know, how
that's quite easy. To say, I can offer you X-rays. I can show you.
I would welcome the challenge to walk into a courtroom and actually and
prove that you are.
I would walk in and say, "Sir, I am a ridiculous human being, and now I will demonstrate this."
I will demonstrate this to the court. That's why you're not allowed in courtrooms, Dan.
That is why. I've got to say, I did jury service once, and it was really, really boring. Like, you think it's going to be really fun and interesting, because the thing I was doing was, like, I can't say what it was, but it was, like, an assault of some kind. But then all it is just people identifying the same people, like, over and over again. And
showing
just,
the same knife.
I'll tell you the only good thing. The only good thing was that they gave you lunch, right? And it was decent food. And I was like,
Can I tell you how serious he's being right now? He's actually doing hand gestures and everything, going, the food was wonderful.
It wasn't wonderful, but it was all right, man. It was nice. And, you know,
you talked about it every day when you came home, I know.
And they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. That's that other mass delusion in my head.
Free worms? Free worms. Michael, is that
free,
you?
Free worms. Michael? Free worm Rick Ross, yeah.
How are you, Michael?
About Rick Ross. It's good. It's yeah, it gets into this whole how the CIA brought crack over, and the guy Gary Webb, who was the Gary Webb, the journalist that broke that story, later supposedly killed himself with two gunshots to the head. Think about that. Chew on that.
Thank you, Michael, for that tidbit.
You try to take
down
the CIA, and you know, you somehow managed to shoot yourself twice in the head. That's all. Well, have a good show.
That's funny. Coincidental.
When he mentioned Rick Ross, I was like, okay, is he talking about the drug lord? Is he talking about the rapper? Is he talking about the drug lord expert?
Oh, drug lord tried to sue the rapper for taking his name and lost. And ended up having to pay. And ended up having to pay $500,000 of legal fees for the rapper. That's messed
up,
man.
Goodness, that is. We live in a crazy world, eh?
We do, man. We do.
Oh, yeah, where Burning Man sues you for making fun of them.
Well, that's so square.
A sandwich company. Yeah.
And people like The Matrix.
Carry on.
I just feel like saying to them, like, I feel like saying, like, well, actually, no. I feel like saying to them, it's not them that's doing it. I was going to say, Quiznos is a sandwich place. Don't take yourself that seriously. But it's not them. It's Burning Man. For a minute, I thought, Quiznos suing Burning Man? I hear music, guys.
I probably did mess that up. But anyways, worms.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is The Freedom Fiends. I am Katie Green, and they are bigger buttons. I'm here with Dan Green and Jim Jesus.
It's my ringtone.
Yay! I love it, man. I heard that and I was like, no way. And Dan woke me up with it very early in the morning yesterday to shove it in my face and go, look! And I was like, yay! So that was really, really awesome. So we're here, we're talking about, well, we were talking about The Matrix, the movie. And Jim, you've got an interesting theory about the cable guy and the Matrix.
So the point that I was making off the at the break was that The Matrix, while it was a decent film at the time, if you watch it now, it's very dated, it's kind of cliche, it's very boring. But the reverse is true for the cable guy. At the time, everybody hated the film Cable Guy with Jim Carrey, where he plays this creepy cable guy who tries to befriend this customer, and it just goes down these really dark areas. And but if you watch it now, it's almost like a totally different movie, because we actually have run into people on the internet like Jim Carrey in The Cable Guy, and we're now more familiar with the more dark comedies that have been coming out since then. So now that that movie is out and people are kind of like ready for dark humor, it seems that that film has kind of taken on a new life, but everyone still remembers it as terrible. But I liked it. It's not the best Jim Carrey movie, you know, by far. But I thought it was really great. A lot of my friends liked it, but a lot of my friends hated it. But I'm guaranteeing you, if you watch it now, you're going to see it in a whole different light.
Well, it's on Netflix. I'm going to watch it.
Well, the thing that I still remember that I could say that I took from that movie was, you know, when he's doing Somebody to Love, then I was kind of interested. Then I got into Jefferson Airplane from that.
Thank you for that
thanks,
movie.
Thanks, Jim Carrey, for getting me into psychedelic 60s music.
I don't think it was just Jim Carrey, though. I think there were other factors.
No, it was
factors.
Purely Jim Carrey.
It was all Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey did all the
Jim
cameras. He wrote it. He directed it. He was every kind of producer, because there's like a million. You could be an executive producer, a regular producer, a co-producer, a supervising producer.
Did you see anybody else singing the song? I didn't. Clearly was him.
It was all Jim Carrey.
It's totally Jim Carrey.
All the other actors were Jim Carrey in disguise.
In disguise. That's amazing.
That.
I'm going to watch it
I
again.
I actually
and
believe
prove
that.
You wrong.
I do.
Uh huh.
Too weird. Yeah,
and it's
too weird.
It's one of the very few. It's also one of the very few good Matthew Broderick movies. You know, Ferris Bueller is awesome.
Ferris Bueller is great. And
what
in
else?
These days
what
he's
else
not been doing much.
Yeah. What else is
good at? Oh, no, he was good in 30 Rock, the brief few episodes he was in when he played the government guy.
Yeah, what was his name again?
Matthew Broderick.
No. Yes. All right, yeah. His name is Matthew Broderick.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Well, anyway, I'm going to watch The Cable Guy, because I didn't like it when I first saw it, but I was very, very young, and I didn't really get dark humor, and I like what you said, Jim, about people on the internet, because the internet has just opened us up to a whole new breed of people.
And we've been over this on YouTube. It's the worst, the worst place. I don't know, Tumblr's pretty bad, but it's kind of a different kind of bad.
Tumblr, I love Tumblr.
Katie has a love-hate relationship.
Okay,
with Tumblr.
Can I tell you what it is? Just because Tumblr's like hipster cat, and then just like something inappropriate. Usually, that's what Tumblr is. Like the people I follow is just like cat hipster quote something inappropriate, which I don't mind. I mean, I like cat pictures. I mean, I enjoy them, and I always enjoy the other stuff. But I don't know. Like, I do have a love-hate relationship because I spend about 3 hours on there for nothing.
For nothing.
Just scrolling down the dashboard.
Constantly, forever scrolling
just
downwards.
Just forever scrolling.
At pictures of oversized ladies with tattoos dressed like it's the 50s.
Yep.
But not the actual 50s.
Not the 50s.
Like a sort
the rockabilly
of hyper-real,
50s, like
cartoonized
50s,
version of the 50s.
The 50s with iPhones. Yeah, that's what it is now. Yeah, so Tumblr is like the 50s with iPhones.
That is my expert
that's
analysis
Dan's opinion.
Of Tumblr.
You've been on Tumblr once, Dan. I showed you it.
No, more
you
than
went,
once. I tried to make Tumblr work for me, but it turns out that people like me don't get on well in Tumblr.
Okay. So there you go. Dan's not on Tumblr.
I know that I've just disappointed millions of people, literally.
Literally. We'll be right back after this break.
Worms, Mr. Anderson.
Follow me on Tumblr.
Worms.
You can't be professional or something like that.
I'm incredibly professional, though. Everything I do. Oh my gosh, do that.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
God, no. Maybe not.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Liberty. Sectarian re-education center will orbit ion cannon.
Of course.
High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the Libertarian artificial satellite, LibPair 2017. In the Alpha Centauri region, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT or no government license.
No, but what?
This allows reuse for anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org for you.
That was so good, man. Thank you. I love that. It's like, let's do Bane. Bane is a fun character, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Dan's just...
For you.
All right, we should probably get... Okay. Good times. We like to have fun here.
If you're just tuning in, we apologize.
Yes, always. For everything, ever.
Of course.
So, now, we wanted to talk about something very special in our two. It's a subject that's close to all of our hearts. Mr. Trumpelstiltskin. That's why I call him Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Good old Donald Trump.
He's running for president, I hear. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard that.
And he everything he does wrong, he just keeps getting rewarded by higher poll. Because he just keeps raising in the polls every time he does something
he's
terrible.
Proof and it's that like, the market doesn't work. He's proof.
Yeah. Yeah. But Bill Whittle said something really interesting on his whatever. And he said that he's a widely despised, loudmouth, narcissistic blowhard that likes nothing better than the sound of his own voice. Despite what he says he believes politically, the truth is he doesn't really believe in anything but himself. He flies around in a big jet with his logo prominently on the side, hobnobbing with his rich, fat cat New York donors. And frankly, look, let's just come out right out and say it. Despite his obvious gift for self-promotion, he's not very bright. And through that ego egomaniac sitting behind the desk of the President of the United States of America, it just fills people with shame. But enough about Barack Obama. Yeah.
That was great.
I thought that was brilliant.
I like it. It's a play on words.
Do you know there's this weird part of me that kind of wants Donald Trump to become the American president? Because I think that's when you would really know that you're in the end times.
Yeah.
You know, like you would really know that this is the apocalypse is nigh. You know,
this man, this ridiculous man.
You would be in a future in created by George Orwell. It would be amazing. Like.
I could just imagine his press conferences, like when he has to do another terrorist attack, and he has to come on TV, and he's like, "Listen, frankly, we've been talking to the terrorists. We've been trying to talk to them and try to convince them that this is a bad, but they didn't listen. Yeah. And frankly, they wouldn't take my calls. I tried really, really hard to get in contact with them, but frankly, let's face it, they're idiots. They're not very smart. I mean, terrorists. They're good people. They're fine people. My doorman." Loves terrorists, but they won't take my calls.
Do you know what?
I can just imagine it now.
I love that.
But then, how is he going to like pick like as sort of like as Secretary of Defense and things like that? Is he going to do it like The Apprentice? Are we all going to get to watch?
Yeah, we should. Like, we're all going to get
sit around
pick his like cabinet and like pick all the.
But
people.
Then, what are the tasks going to be? The tasks Dan, would probably be mental. They would have to the Defense Secretary challenge where you have to go and bomb some Middle Eastern country.
And then you have to come back and like give a report on it. And then
that was nice bombing.
That was great. I really enjoyed that.
That was good bombing, but frankly, you bombed the wrong target 3 times
You're
out
fired.
Of 1,000. It's not very good. You're fired. We're gonna have Pendulette on, and we're gonna replace him because I don't agree with the guy. I like libertarianism, but let's face it. You know, he'll take my calls. You know.
We watched that one where Pendulette was on. Remember, Dan?
That's the only reason why
people.
I ever watched that show was because Pendulette was on.
But The Apprentice is one of those shows that you can't stop watching it. You're trying to take yourself away, but you're like, I just have to see how this pans out. I mean, there was one when he freaked out, man. There was one when, like, one of the guys was just, he was making a joke and he was saying, like, oh, I'm white trash. I don't eat anywhere that doesn't have a deep fried entree. He was just making a joke like that. And then, like, Trump was all, what? Wait, you say white trash? Wait, why would you call yourself white trash? Yeah. And then he went, you're fired. And the guy thought he was joking. The guy was like, yeah. And he went, no, I'm serious. You're fired. Get out. And he pure freaked out, man.
He doesn't
and
like it was the like, term just white over, trash.
And he was only using it in a kind of just a jokey way.
Yeah.
And he freaked right out. It was weird, man. Really, what he fired him on the spot, and then he went to promptly fire someone else after that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what chip is on his shoulder, but it was weighing him down.
Well, I think he's obviously got. I don't think you get to a place like that without collecting some issues along the way. I'm sure he's got many.
I mean, there was a thing here. I mean, he was in the papers a lot because he was having a fight with people like up north because he was building a golf course and he was trying to kick people out of their houses. Yeah, and there was all this.
There were people that just wouldn't leave their homes.
And do you know the thing was, he was actually, I mean, like, he was talking about wind turbines, right? You know, the kind of those big wind turbines that generate electricity. And regardless of what you think of them and blah, 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 he was actually saying, oh, we shouldn't have them there because this, that, and the next thing. And he was actually lecturing the Scottish government, and again, regardless of what you think of it, he doesn't live here. He's just got an investment here, and he thinks that he can tell us what looks good and what doesn't look good and what should happen. Over
silly
here, he's
silly,
like,
man.
He actually thinks, I'll just tell Scotland what looks nice and they'll listen to me because I'm a big fancy American man.
Big fancy
and,
bad.
And everyone's like, go away, man. Get out of here, don't come back.
I could just imagine him going to like one of the distilleries there and be like, look, let's face it, the scotch, it's too peaty. I don't like it. It's not very good. You should tone it down a little. Tone it down a little. Yeah. They'd be like, excuse me. Like this distillery's
been
around.
We've been doing
since.
This for a long time.
Yeah. We know what we're doing. We sell more in whiskey than, you know, you sell ads on The Apprentice, so go away.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't.
Well, I read an article recently when this guy was kind of claiming that, I'm going to try and find it. He was basically claiming that he might not be worth as much as he claims to be.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Oh, yeah.
And that might be the point of, like, the presidency and stuff. Like, the weird thing is, like, I know he's been talking about running for president for, like, quite a while. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of mentioned it and stuff, and he's sounded out a bit.
Oh, yeah. Going back to the 80s. Yeah, going back to the 80s.
Oh, yeah?
Really that far?
Yeah.
Threatening.
I didn't realize it was that far.
It is a threat.
But that's the thing. I never thought he would actually do it because he doesn't seem like he likes to lose things.
But that's why he signed that Republican thing, like, that's why he said, I will... That was the oath, wasn't it?
What was it?
Yeah, I think it was printed on a dot matrix printer, too, or...
it was, like, a thing, Dan, where he signed it and said that he'll just run as a Republican candidate.
Oh, and if he doesn't
But if they don't pick him, then that's... He's not in the race.
Oh, right, well...
So that's how he's going to get away with it.
And then he could blame the Liberal media.
Yeah, he'll blame the Liberal media. Changing him
out. It was that MSNBC. I tried talking to him. They wouldn't take my calls. I mean, the good people... My daughter, big fan of Rachel Maddow, not a fan. Good people.
His children are very the ones I've seen on the show.
Scary.
They're robotic automatons. They are like just the young woman. She's very, very nice looking, but
Ivanka.
I couldn't.
Oh, don't get me started on Ivanka. I would do terrible things, unspeakable things. So that
I would too, Jim, but different things.
Have you noticed?
I
we're talking
girl.
About this.
Right, see if you watch the boardroom scenes. See if you watch them. She's always sitting on the very, very edge
she's
of her
perched.
Chair.
Yeah,
for some
perched,
reason,
yeah.
She always looks so nervous.
She's ready to run. That's why. Because Donald Trump is her father. And you have to run away.
So Ivanka, if you're listening, stay away from Jim.
Yeah, it would be consensual, unspeakable things. Okay. Consensual, unspeakable things.
Consensual, unspeakable
that's the
things.
Key word
we
here.
Should. That should just be the show title.
Consensual, unspeakable things,
including Donald Trump
and liking the Matrix.
I stand by what I said, Jim. I stand by our one done.
I like that guy.
I like that guy. Life was easier for our one Dan, you know. He had so much possibility ahead of him.
He had more time ahead.
Our two Dan is a jaded shadow, a dried up husk of what our Dan one could have been.
Are you done?
I'm finished. I'm
done, right, okay.
And then I need to go to work after this, so probably it's going to get even more depressing. I can't imagine what our three Dan's going to be like.
I know, I don't want to know where our three Dan you're at the house.
So when they're picking cabinet members, are we going to vote on what cabinet members are going to get in position by buying their flavored ice cream at Walgreens too?
Yeah.
And they can get their celebrity friends to come down. You know, Piers Morgan can be there. You know, and they can be like, I've got a check coming from Piers Morgan. It's fine. That's how, like, see when the economy's in trouble, that's what they could do. They can all stand.
The economy's in
trouble.
Yeah,
they can all stand up at Times Square, and then they'll be like, it's okay, I'm phoning Penn Jillette, he'll be here, we're going to save the economy.
No, they're phoning other countries.
Whoever saves the economy first wins.
Yeah, it's because you bought the caramel turtle chocolate ice cream instead of the one with nuts. So that's how we know that Penn Jillette's going to be in, Secretary of the Interior.
Mm-hmm. I can see that
just
happening.
Just do magic tricks and burn the just burn the flag at the White House.
Yeah. It would go down well. Yeah.
They'd be like, you're fired.
He could just distract everyone with slate.
It burned a flag.
I would say, as far as, you know, that goes, I think burning the flag at the White House would probably get you thrown out.
Do you think so?
Thrown out on a limb.
It depends, though. You know what I mean?
I don't know. They did it on the West Wing. They did it on the West Wing.
Well, if they did it on TV, then it can absolutely happen.
It must be
happen.
True.
It must be real.
Because I saw it on television, so it's real.
And I read it on the internet.
I read it online, so it has to be okay.
I watched a TV show online, so therefore it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose we're talking about the Matrix in Era 1. I suppose that's the danger of it, because then it's like, this has piqued my interest, and then you get on YouTube, and you go, well, this guy's got all the trouble of making a YouTube documentary, so the information must be accurate. And then you fall down that. I went through a weekend of watching a lot of Alex Jones documentaries, right? Documentaries, like, you know, with, like, air quotes, but, like, you know, Alex Jones, like, all that stuff. I watched a whole lot of them, and, like, actually, do you know what, like, some of them I thought and it made me think about other things, but I was actually really scared. Like, I was like,
he was frightened, he was crawling up in a ball.
There was the fear that was crawling up me, and I was like, and then I was like, man, I'm glad I don't live in America. And then I started looking at then I started going, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then, like, I started getting all worried
here too.
Now I'm just like, now I've decided I'm just going to be a proper prepper, you know. I'm just going to have a full bottle of vodka and a load of pills, so if things do go wrong,
Dan has a contingency plan.
Prep.
That's disgusting.
On that odd note,
yep,
should probably go to a break.
Yep.
And I'll try and
free market
regroup.
Yep.
Buy some freeze-dried food.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is apparently The Freedom Fiends, allegedly. So I'm led to believe.
We are told.
I'm Dan Green here with Kate again. And James Jesus.
Bane.
Of course.
We're not sure what's going on, but
we're never sure what's going on. We just roll with it, though.
Speaking of rolling.
Yeah.
See that? That's
wordplay.
Wordplay.
That's accurate. Segued right in seamlessly until we pointed it out. So what's the story about this woman arrested for driving her car? Have you read this?
Yeah, Dan, you got it there?
Yeah, because, like, obviously, like, she couldn't own a BMW because she was black.
Right, okay. You know, and because, she was a woman as well.
Yeah, how could she possibly...
So a black woman driving a car.
How could that be her car?
Yeah, that's...
I can't imagine why.
She obviously ended up in a mental hospital, right? That's where they put her.
Yeah, because she must be crazy to assume that she owns her own car. That would just be... Where did she get that idea?
Being in pharmacy, I'm assuming they pumped her full of lithium.
I believe so.
Yeah, they did, yeah. This is a gross story about a woman who was driving. Now, I believe she was driving without her hands on the wheel at some point. I don't know how
that
works.
Which in itself is a bit weird, like.
But, you know, I doubt she was driving the whole time like that. It doesn't work like that. So I highly doubt her hands were not on the wheel the whole drive. But, yeah, she got pulled over and they didn't believe that the car was, like, hers. And also she said that she was followed on Twitter by Barack Obama, and apparently that means
the president is following me
online, though. And, like, that's possible because he follows a lot of people. I'm sure it's himself.
I think
on
he automatically
iPad
follows back if you follow him. I don't know, I don't follow him.
I'm going to follow and find out. I'm going to test that theory later. I bet you £5 he will not follow me.
Katie's still excited that Margaret Cho follows her on Twitter.
I enjoy Margaret Cho. I don't know why she follows me. I think it was a follow back thing. But I don't tweet a lot.
You ain't no follow back
girl. I ain't no follow back girl. And I
do. I'm so sorry. I apologise to everyone listening.
I'm actually at my follow limit right now.
I can't apologise enough to the audience for just all of it.
I think you could. You could try harder. But no, so this story was so weird and it just made me think, like, on what planet do you get put in a mental home for driving your own car? There must be more to this story. It cannot be. Dan, do you have it there in front of you?
I'm looking at it. Jim, what do you think?
I don't have no words.
Do you have words to describe?
Where have we gone when you can't even drive your own car without people thinking that you're crazy?
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I mean, there must have been something else.
Apparently they tricked her into being handcuffed and stuff, and then they, like, bundled her off to a mental hospital. It sounds like something in a film. Like, yeah, it does. Like, it sounds so weird. Like, it's, we're going to trick you. Like, and then...
trick you into...
I've got a cartoon-style imagination, so I imagine they put her in a big straitjacket and stuff, and a bunch of people ran with white coats into a big truck.
It says that she was given lithium and injected with powerful sedatives. He held me into me, and then the doctor stuck me in the arm, and I was on a stretcher, and I woke up to them taking my clothes off, specifically my underwear.
Creepy.
Yeah, well, you know, but she needs to learn. She just can't drive around
in a BMW.
Yeah,
just being herself.
This is unreasonable. Unreasonable.
I mean, that's in this day and age.
I mean, what did they go kind of like? Now that is a black woman driving a BMW. That just can't be right.
Nope.
Something about that mental hospital. There must be something wrong. Let's go and pull her over. Like, but
that's
like
awful.
The thing about her hands not being on the wheel. She said she was stopped like at a light and she was sort of dancing.
Of course, as you do.
Right. See, when I'm driving, if I'm stopped at a light, I'll have a little dance.
You do. I know.
You know, I don't mind. I'll have a dance. Yeah. So
especially
I get
if you're driving a BMW, I'd be dancing too.
I'd be dancing all the way home. I know. I don't know. This is a weird story. I don't think we're going to come to any kind of a consensus. I don't think we can go anywhere from this. It's
crazy.
Just weird.
We're going to come to a consensus.
We're going to come to a consensus. This is bizarre.
This is crazy. Yes. I don't get it.
So I agree. She was obviously a dangerous psychopath.
This is almost as bizarre as Trump running for president.
So is she like, she's out now, though, right?
Calls.
This woman, this mental case woman, is she out now?
She's clearly out of her mind. I mean, she's driving around a BMW and Barack Obama's following her on Twitter.
I know, that's just crazy talk.
I know.
Yeah.
Who would believe such madness?
I hear music.
You do? It's just you.
Dropping.
Yeah.
We will be back, probably.
It's our collective delusion.
Oh no!
Williams!
Run away!
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Here we go. Yes. The freedom rises. Now is not the time for statism. That comes later.
Worms. Freedom Fiends. Here with Dan Green, Katie Green, and of course me, Jim Jesus. And we're talking about Bane and Trump, and but that I repeat myself. And how it's apparently crazy to drive your own car. Was it in New York?
Katie has a love for New York.
I love New York.
And I have an irrational hatred for New York.
Do you? That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But Katie's speaking from a tourist perspective.
I'm speaking purely from a tourist point of view, where I just visit the States to go and sort of enjoy the food and, you know, all that stuff.
Implying their pizza.
But no, New York, I really like it, but, you know... That's my bias, though. That's like because I've been brought up on movies and stuff. So that's, you know, it's my cultural bias.
Your cultural bias?
Yeah.
Your regional handicap?
I see like New York is a big movie set. I don't
that's
take the, it
that's not me. That's all Hunter Thompson, isn't it? Did he not say that? I think that was sure. A fear and loathing in Las Vegas. I don't want to take too much credit for that.
Yeah, notice that, it was in Las Vegas and not New York. Otherwise, it was a terrible movie. Yeah.
No, I know.
And Trump would have been in it.
I tell you something, right? I've never been to Las Vegas, but I can tell that it's not the place I would want to take psychedelic drugs.
No,
like if I had to pick anywhere, that would not be my first choice.
I watched Fear and Loathing.
It seems like I'd have enough to deal with without drugs.
No comment.
Yes, no comment on this.
No comment.
None whatsoever.
Some people would say Dan, Glasgow's a crazy place to take psychedelics, but it just depends where you're from, I suppose.
Well, do you know what? A friend of ours actually put up on Facebook yesterday that he was walking through the town centre in Glasgow, you know, this wonderful city of culture as it is. And he saw a man going to the bathroom as in
doing a number two in the middle of
the street.
Yes.
I believe he said this city is bonkers.
I think bonkers
was quite mild.
The term bonkers, a man doing a poo-poo. Yes.
So, yeah, I suppose, good point. Point taken.
Glasgow's a weird place too. I think the world is just weird now at this point, 2015.
So, notes. Go to Glasgow, public defecation, and psychedelic drugs. All in one day, man.
I've got to say as well... It was one of these Facebook posts I read, and it was some American person that had commented on it, and it was one of these kind of free the nipple sort of things, you know, when people like go topless and stuff. And this person wrote, women in Europe go topless all the time, and it's not a big deal.
Get over it.
And I looked at this guy's profile, and he was from the US. I've got to say, before y'all get excited, that's not true. That's not even remotely true. I've been all over Europe, and I'm sorry, there is nude beaches in certain places, but there is everywhere. Women don't walk around topless, and quite frankly, it's too cold.
At least in orbit.
See, orbits.com, cancel flight to Europe. Done. Thank you. You saved me a lot of money.
I'm very sorry. I just hate to burst everyone's bubble, I do, but like... It just doesn't happen, you know? Like, it's not true. Not even in Amsterdam.
Everything's legal in Amsterdam.
Almost. Well, that's actually the thing. Like, you know, everyone's talking about legalizing pot. I mean, it's been decriminalized in Amsterdam for years, and it's a much better model, but nobody seems to notice that. Like, you know, this hasn't been done before. Yeah, it's been since the 70s, man. The 1970s. It's been a long time, and it's worked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's working everywhere else in the United States where they're legalizing it, or even the medical marijuana is doing a lot. Because in California, if you want to get medical marijuana, you just have to say like, I got this nasty cough. Oh, I need marijuana. Oh, sounds like a legitimate reason to give someone medical marijuana. Here you go. You're good for a whole year.
That's the thing. I mean, see, like, that's the funny thing here. There was the UK government did this thing where if so many hundreds of thousands of people sign a petition, we'll have to debate it in Parliament. And some people think that means they care. And, like, over 200,000 people have signed this petition to, like, legalise marijuana in the UK. And the government quickly said, yeah, we'll debate it. They released a statement saying, yeah, we'll debate it, but we think it's a harmful drug. We don't like it, so we're not going to make it legal. So, you know, whatever.
We will debate it.
And then people are still saying, keep signing the petition. They've made it perfectly clear that they don't care. How many people sign the petition? Half the country can sign the petition. They'd be like, "Nah, we don't care."
They don't care.
You know, like,
well, there can be no true despair without hope. So,
no.
Or that's a Bane quote. So
there can be no despair without hope.
It's kind of oddly true that's the weird thing about that movie.
Well, that's the thing. If that's just your situation and you don't have any other choice, then you might.
Dane. He's my hero. I'm planning on doing something similar. I just can't afford the mask right now. I bulk up a bit. I need to hit the gym. The only problem is, like, see the evil mastermind thing. I've got all that going in my head. Yeah. Understand how I'm going to do it.
You just need the physicality.
I'm going to close off Glasgow, and I'm going to make it my own personal communist hill.
So underneath Celtic Park, you're going to have your operation.
All that stuff. The only problem is that I have to bulk up first because I'm not a big man.
Yeah.
And I think it takes. A physically projected man to pull off something like that. So as soon as I can be bothered hitting the gym, I'll probably do it. Well, the suit is. Maybe I can just get a suit that looks like muscle.
No, I meant, what are you going to do about Batman? Like, what if he comes for you? Like,
all right, I thought you just meant that he's not as big as Wayne.
Just do a Bruce Wayne. Just get a... You need to be a millionaire, though, Dan. Have you thought about this? Yeah. I don't think you've thought about this at all, my friend.
No, but Bane wasn't a millionaire. He was just some guy.
Just some dude.
Aye, and he shaved my head as well.
He was.
Yeah, but like I said, as soon as I bulk up or get a suit that makes it look like I'm
Dan's crowdfunding now for this.
I am. I'm doing a Kickstarter.
He's doing a Kickstarter.
Well, we're going to hashtag make Dan Bane.
If you're going to bulk up and just be a superhero based or a supervillain based on that, you might as well just be the Tick and just run around. You don't have to be smart. You just jump from building to building and you'll spoon. Which, by the way, did you hear that they're bringing it back? They're bringing back the Tick. I can't wait.
Seriously?
Yeah, they're bringing back the Tick, the live action version. And that the guy that originally played him is going to do him too, which is perfect because he did the perfect Tick. Yeah. Spoon!
I want them to bring back Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
No. Yes.
No. I want to pretend that those last two Batman movies didn't exist.
What, Batman Returns and Batman Forever?
No. The Returns was
good. Were those
the two? Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Oh, I always forget about the George Clooney one. I forget. I don't count that.
The bat credit card. What were they thinking?
Nobody put. What was it? Arnold Schwarzenegger's in that movie.
It's time for you to chill.
Nobody puts me in the cooler.
It's just one bad pun after another. And everyone just constantly doing them. And then the bat chill card. I can forgive the nipples on the suits, the little thing showing where their nipples are supposed to go. I can deal with that. I can deal
with
the bad
puns. Have nipples on his suit?
I can deal with Bane being a mindless automaton. I can deal with that, but bat credit card ruins my childhood. In ways I
was
can't
that the
describe.
Bit where they're doing the auction and he has the credit card? Yeah.
Yes.
And then Robin's all upset because he doesn't have that because he's not Batman.
He was a poor.
He's
orphan.
He's Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so was Bruce Wayne, but hey.
Do you know what I always remember? I used to have like an old VHS, like when I was like a child of like, you know, it's the old Batman cartoons. And I always remember the one when it's like, he tells the story and for some reason I don't forget it. And it's like, the guy used to walk out of, used to walk out of wherever he worked with like a wheelbarrow full of sawdust every night. And people thought, he's just taking sawdust. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And it took them months to realize he was stealing wheelbarrows. I don't know, it just sounds oddly profound. It's like, after a bong hit profound, like, wait till I tell you this. I've just thought, this will really make you think. Like, I don't know.
Robert, we just got word that someone is driving around the city in their own car to the Batcave.
She says the president is following her. Don't know what to believe.
Holy BMW, Batman.
Hey, maybe she didn't mention Twitter. Maybe she just went, Barack Obama's following me. And they went, you're nuts.
What?
Maybe she didn't specify Twitter.
Maybe she didn't. Maybe she never said Twitter. That's just a horrific story, though. I just feel bad for that lady, like, having to go through that for driving a car.
Her own vehicle. Yeah, her own car. It just makes it so much worse than every possible.
I mean, she must be doing okay. I mean, she owns a BMW, so.
Not anymore. She's not.
Not
she
anymore.
Probably had the electroshock therapy and stuff.
She can't get back in that car. Oh, that's just so sad.
Triggered. The 1950s did nothing good for the image of psychiatry.
No.
Yeah.
The quack psychiatry.
I don't know how we got there.
I don't know either. Do you want to go back?
Back where? No, it's scary back there. I was trying to run away from where we were.
So we're just in limbo. We're just hanging here in limbo.
I was trying to go forever forward.
You keep going, honey.
Of course.
You keep chasing that dream.
You just keep running, Forrest.
I can't do accents, right? I don't even know why I even bother remotely trying. There's no point in it, but I still kind of try a little bit.
Everything sounds like Borat.
I'm just hoping that it will sound so ridiculous that people will... Like, do you know what? Like, that's what I say, see, when I'm doing impressions. I'm like, I'm not doing an impression of that person. I'm doing an impression of someone doing an impression of that person. So I was spot on. It's just so that they were bad at it. Yeah. But mine was dead on.
All day.
It's like Dan Green. Can you do an impression of an American? Very nice. All right, now do an impression of a Canadian. Very nice.
It's Nick. It's my wife. I love it.
High five.
I like. Yikshmish.
I actually went on a holiday to Poland, and I was about to do that accent, and my mate grabbed me and went, no, don't you can't do it. That here. It would go over well here.
They'll think you're making fun of them.
It's almost kind of like Jim Carrey at this point. Like, you know, the Ace Ventura. When people do Ace Ventura, it just drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
But, and so, yeah, Borat's become that.
Yeah. People just do it all the time. But...
And so is Ace Ventura.
I actually remember what he was like Sacha Baron Cohen when he did Ali G, which was his original character. And I used to watch it when he was on the 11 o'clock show. It used to just be, there's this show on Channel 4 here called the 11 o'clock show, and he had a wee segment on it where he would interview someone as Ali G, and then it sort of grew into his own show and stuff. And it was just so funny, man. It was, if anyone doesn't know Ali G,
look up Ali G. There was an Ali G movie he did about him running for office in the UK. Incredibly funny.
And all the shows are on you. All the episodes of the show are on YouTube. By the way, awesome. I was watching them the other day.
Awesome,
it was great.
We recommend it.
Spec.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
I'll tweet you too.
Far too busy talking
on the
air.
Yeah. Go away.
We were busy. We really talked on air. And I can't express the fact that I really love Donald Trump. I mean
what? No.
Yeah, Freedom Beans or something. Yeah.
And this isn't Free Domain Radio.
What?
This is the Freedom Fiends.
And that voice.
Yes, I thought I would do it theatrically.
Freedom Fiends.
And he does it babe.
There is no hope without despair without hope.
That's true.
That's Jim Jesus, Donald Trump. And Bane and Agent Smith are all in the one room.
They're all allegedly in the one room together having a conversation.
Then at the other side of Intergalactic Prairie Studios, the side that we're not allowed in.
No.
No, we have to stay in this
There's a locked door.
We're not allowed to go through it.
We have to pay a lot of money to get over to the other side of Intergalactic Prairie Studios. But
that's a mouthful.
Intergalactic Prairie Studios.
IP.
I like to think one day there will be an actual Intergalactic Prairie Studios.
There is. I mean,
oh, sorry, what?
Broadcasting from Michael Bean's gonna come on here and get angry with us. How dare you?
Be like, hey, man, I'm waiting.
He's good. You're actually waiting?
He's always around, he's always there.
That's because Michael has transcended space and time,
yeah,
and he exists on the internet
within the realm.
As a that's why he's the libertarian NSA, because he is everywhere and nowhere.
Yes, at the same time.
Yeah. He broke the matrix, and
that's
hopefully
profound.
Yeah, hopefully he can explain to me why it even exists.
What's the point of
why is the matrix even a thing? Why, when you could just be comatose, why is it there? People are just gonna escape it anyway. Seems like a giant security hole.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I actually never thought of it that way.
Do you know when I actually watched The Matrix, you know the guy that decides to go back and forget it all? The guy that's like that, I can't remember his name, that guy. I was watching
the
that.
The Judas character.
I actually thought, I might be that guy. Like, I actually kind of thought, you know what? See, if I didn't know, who cares, man? Like,
yeah.
I'll eat this steak. I know this is fake, but I am loving it.
Well, that's the thing, is it? I mean, but that's the whole thing about, like, I don't know. It's too deep to get into right now because we're like at the end of the, like almost at the end of the show. But
yeah,
like,
because we've been getting so deep the rest of the show.
It's like
And then we should light it up a bit. That's the deepest thing I've ever seen, James.
It's just the Bible. That's all it is. It's just a Bible on film. With,
but I was going to say that's
cheesy
sort of
effects
what it is.
That didn't
it's
play
the,
out well. Go
it's
ahead.
The, it's a religion thing. Like, that's what I got from that movie. It's sort of a, what's the point? Yeah, I think that that was a religion thing. Like, what's the point in... If it's not real, what's the point in... Like you were saying, Dan, mm-hmm. I'll eat the steak even though I don't. I know it's
yeah,
real.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, but what is real, you know? Because you do get people saying, like... And there has been actually philosophers who have written things about how you could be a brain in a jar.
Yeah.
You know, who could be being stimulated and things.
So what, though?
Yeah, like, so what? Yeah. Who cares?
I'm still going to enjoy this.
Like, honestly, yeah, and so what? Who cares?
Yeah. Like, if I'm a brain in a jar, that's fine. Because, I mean, I don't... I'm not looking around in other jars.
Yeah.
So, looking around at people. I'm so deep sometimes.
So take that, conspiracy theorist.
So take that, yeah.
We don't care if we're in the Matrix.
I don't care anymore.
We just don't care.
Taking the blue pill.
I'm taking it.
I'm taking the blue pill just because I can't stand that metaphor anymore. I can't.
I know. It's everywhere.
I'll take
it. And everybody thinks it's so original. They're like, ooh. Oh,
yeah. See, people think they're really cool for saying it.
Like a red blue pill. Like, shut up.
Yeah. My mind. I didn't think you would reference that very popular movie. It's a very obscure joke you did there. Didn't see that coming.
Oh, dear.
I think we're being too harsh on the Matrix. Yeah. I think we could learn a lot from it.
What next? Are you going to tell me to go down the rabbit hole?
That's original.
Step through the looking glass. Come on.
And Katie is an Alice in Wonderland fanatic.
I love Alice in Wonderland. It's a lovely story, and it's been done. Yeah. It's been done in so many different ways as well. And I just
did you
I
like
the
Tim
story
Burton
of it.
One.
I did. I enjoyed that. We went to see that for my birthday one year.
It was interesting how they did it.
I like Tim Burton stuff.
It's nice.
Even when Tim Burton stuff is bad, it's always
great. Even
when
it's bad, it's good.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like Willy Wonka. I wasn't a big fan of the Alice movies, but I love watching it just because it's so fun to watch his movies. Even Pee-wee's Big Adventure, that was great, too.
Thank you so much for coming on today with us, Jim, and for having us. And
for coming on and for having us.
For coming on and for having us. I don't know. There's no host here. It's
you're the host and the guest.
Freedom Fiends. Our home even let Jim Jesus on.
I've had fun. I've learned today.
You have. We've all learned.
I've learned.
I think
something.
We're all richer for the experience.
I'm going to go away and take what I've learned.
And apply it.
And apply it to my life. I'm gonna become Batman.
Worms.
Worms.